trying to figure out the safe place to put this in case I wander. So, it's kind of interesting. It's good to see everybody again, meet some of you again for the first time, and you know, talking to Chris. It's kind of interesting. One of the things that Chris just mentioned, you know, he talked about silencing your cell phones and so on. You know, I remember not too many years ago, a gospel preacher, in some of his lessons, he just said, just simply turn it off. You simply turn your phone off. But let me tell you this. We're living in a time where this may be your Bible. This may be your Bible. And so we're not necessarily turning it off. You know, just hopefully you're not searching YouTube or whatever other social media instead. And by the way, I'm going to talk about that one night. So... but nevertheless, you know, we're living in a time where we have technology, and it's a wonderful thing from that standpoint. But nevertheless, on to the lesson at hand. I'm honored to stand before you for a few moments and share with you a portion of God's Word for the week. I like to do a lot of themes. As a matter of fact, virtually every year I will present a theme of lessons just to kind of strengthen brethren with that with this particular subject and make them well-versed. This is a series of lessons that I presented there in Bellflower in 2019. And it was the theme for the year, and I believe I preached a little bit over 40 sermons on this particular subject. So get comfortable, because I only have a week here. Now, I've actually consolidated a little bit. But nevertheless, this is a theme that I believe that is something important to give consideration into. And what it's dealing with is the idea of, and this thing just turned red on me. Let's see, which button do I push to make it green? There it is. I got it. Okay, I got it. So yeah. Anyways, this is a series of lessons that is dealing with example, being lights in a dark world. And the theme verse that we would be looking at for this particular series is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And I know this will be read again in the next hour, but I just want to read a couple of verses here as we begin. Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That describes being an example where others are concerned. Now, this week, the lessons that I am going to be preparing for us is this morning, in this hour, we're going to be talking about the power of example. And we're also going to talk about the power of shining as a light. Then in our next hour, we're going to look at Jesus as the ultimate example that we follow. Jesus is the light that we reflect. Tonight, we're going to talk about the darkness that is around us. If you want to understand light, one of the things you need to understand is darkness. You need to understand what damages light and so on. And then throughout the rest of the week, talking about being an example, on Monday night, we're going to talk about what does different look like. Tuesday night, we're going to talk about being an example in every area of our lives. And then Wednesday night, we're going to focus on being an example when you're online. Thursday, we're going to talk about some things that will help me to let my light shine. And then Friday, we're going to talk about why we let our light shine. So that's what we're going to be dealing with as we go through this particular week. Now, as I said, this is the introductory lesson here, and basically, I want to talk about being an example today. And one of the things I also want to say about this, if you've been a child of God for any length of time, and that may not be the case with everybody here, I understand that. But if you've been a child of God for any length of time, I may not say anything new all week long. Honestly, I hope I'm not. I hope that what I'm doing is reminding you about what it means to be a Christian and how to live your life as a Christian. So keep that in mind. And so when I always like to start my lessons with definitions as well. So, you know, when we talk about the idea of what exactly is an example, if you look up a definition, it deals with the idea of observed information that gives you direction. You look at something and you learn from it. It tells you where to go and the direction that you need to be going and things along that particular line. And it can be a thing or it can be a person who acts as an illustration or a model of something that you are doing. That's the simple definition of what we're talking about when we deal with the idea of examples. Of course, more specifically, the idea of an example is it is someone that we look up to in order to learn from them. And one of the things to remember about examples is when I say that there, that's a two-way street. I want you to think about, and throughout this week when you think about example, think about the idea of someone that you look up or someone that you look up to that you're learning from. But also, I want you to remember that more than likely there's somebody looking up to you as well. In other words, you look to others for examples, but I can promise you somebody's looking to you as an example in one way or another. So keep those things in mind when we talk about the idea of examples, and I'm going to have to stay on one side or I'm in trouble here. Forgive me on the right side. Examples are all over the place. And, you know, when you look at the Bible is filled with examples. You go to James chapter 3, where James is talking about the power of the tongue. And you have three examples listed right there. He talks about a bit in a horse's mouth. He talks about ships with a small rudder being able to turn that ship in whatever direction the pilot needs that ship to go. And that's actually an impressive thing. And I realize you can look at some of these super mega ships now, and you can look at the size of their rudders, and the rudder would be about half the size of this room, if not bigger. But I want you to look at the ship that it's turning. You know, something that might be the length of 3 football fields or longer. So small compared to everything else. It talks about a spark and the fire that spark can start. Small things. And what's James' point? That's how the tongue is. That's an example of how powerful your words are. So you have an example there. Another example you might think of is in Hebrews 12, talking about how God disciplines and chastens us. And in verses 9 through 11, he appeals to the example of earthly fathers disciplining their children. And they do it because they love them. It's not pleasant while it is being done, but it has a purpose. And so when God disciplines us, it has a purpose. And we can learn from God disciplining us by looking at the examples of fathers disciplining their children. You can look at all throughout the book of Proverbs. You know, Solomon there in Proverbs 6 and in verse number 8, verses 6 through 8, he says, "Go to the ant, you slugger, consider her ways and be wise." And it goes on and talks about how she builds. She builds, even with no captain. She goes and she gathers and she builds. That's an example. And if you look at the text, Solomon's not interested in ants. He's interested in us and making sure that we're resourceful, that we're not lazy. Because that's what the text is about. The ant is an example of not being lazy. You can see that all throughout the world. Preachers often give illustrations. That's examples. And the purpose of an example is to give you an easier way to understand some concept. And I want you to know that that's not without biblical precedent. Think about Jesus. How did Jesus often teach? He taught in parables. And what was a parable? A parable was an example. It was where Jesus took something that men were familiar with, common everyday observations. And in that region, you would have the idea of farming and fishing. You would have household chores. He would talk about weddings and events. He would talk about money. He would talk about masters and servants. And he would take all of those examples and he'd say, you can learn about the kingdom of heaven. And let me explain some things about the kingdom of heaven with these areas that you understand. I want to relate an example so you can better understand the kingdom of heaven. You know, the simple definition that I was given of a parable many years ago where I heard, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. How do you learn about a spiritual kingdom that you cannot physically see? You relate it to things that you can understand. That's an example. Examples are very powerful. So I ask the question, how is our influence where others are concerned? What type of an example am I being? I want you to understand, I want you to never forget that we are always being an example to somebody. And very likely, somebody is being an example to us. Very likely, someone or something is influencing you. Is influencing you in one way or another. So it's being an example to you where you are concerned. So let's just take a few moments and let's talk about the power of an example. And the first thing I want you to understand is to never underestimate how powerful an example can be. We sometimes do things, sometimes say things, and we don't realize what impact that is having on others, what an influence it is having. It might be just a little something that we don't think about, but it can have great influence. And friends, whether for good or bad, and that's something you need to mark down, you know, examples can be both good and bad. Don't forget that. An example, whether good or bad, can have lasting effects. And sometimes it's never forgotten. You know, I think of somebody that does something or says something to somebody when they're young, and they see them years and years and years later, and they remember that thing that they said to them. And that might be something that causes somebody to want nothing to do with God or the church or Christ because of something that was said to them however many years ago. And you know what? You may have changed. You may have repented of that, realized that you were wrong, and you would never do that or say that today. But they remember that. Right or wrong? That's the power of an example. And it's true for good also. Just that little small thing that you do, somebody may remember it and not forget. And years down the road, they remember the good thing that you did, and that just has an impression on them. And maybe because they saw you, just your light shining and just being who you're supposed to be, maybe nothing spectacular, but when they finally need help, they think about you. And they may turn to you. The power of an example. Never underestimate the power of an example for good or for bad. And I will tell you right now that examples can be a great source of learning. It's one of the best ways to learn. You know, you talk about tell me what to do. You can learn a lot by being told what to do, but you know how you learn more? When somebody shows you what to do. And so that's example. That's talking about the power of example. And friends, spiritually, you can win somebody over or you can turn them away by your example. So never, ever forget that when you think about example. Often, examples are not apparent. And this is something for us to think about. You never know when you're being watched. And I want you to understand that clearly. You know, I can think of illustrations in my life. You know, there was one time I think I was in Flagstaff, Arizona. There was a church there at the time. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I was at Walmart, and the guy that was checking us out didn't know anything about him. I'm just glad I wasn't being ungodly. He was there that night at services. You know, you never know. You never know who is, who's watching you. Oh, by the way, that's an example. You never know who's watching you. You never know how you are being influenced. And one of the greatest ways that you're going to be influenced with somebody is over time. It may not just be that one time, even though that can have an effect, but just day in and day out, observing who you are, observing your mannerisms can make all the difference in the world. And they'll notice the consistency or inconsistency. They'll notice that. So you've got the idea of examples. You know, it may not be apparent, and you never know who's watching you. And at times, you know, you may be ignored by somebody. Maybe there's somebody that you want to be a proper example to. And no matter what you do, they just ignore you, and you just get frustrated by it. I wish they would listen. They're listening. You don't know that. You don't know. They may be listening. And again, it may be something where all you've done is plant the seed. And it may take a lifetime for that seed to germinate. But you're being an example. And people are watching. Now, there may be people that don't see you. But understand, there's always the possibility. And I know there's always the probability. The probability that somebody somewhere is watching you. So we need to give consideration to it. And you just may be doing your best, as I've just said here, and you don't realize that somebody is looking at you. You may be somebody's inspiration. And you know what I mean by that? You know, that word has multiple definitions. We're not talking about the inspiration of God's word, but we're talking about somebody that they look up to. And again, they may never tell you, but they have so much respect for you because of who you are and what you've done. And they're trying to learn from you. And they say, that's who I want to be like. You know anybody like that? You know, in the brotherhood, amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, are there people that you look up to and say, that's my goal? I want to be like, you know, and of course, I'll tell you what, they're probably looking up to somebody too. And of course, ultimately, aren't we all looking up to our ultimate example, which we'll talk about next hour? But that's the point. We're always being watched. So we need to understand the power of example. And we need to understand that we are to be lights in the world. So let's talk for a few moments about what it means to shine as lights in a world, because that's the focus of the idea of the examples that we are to be. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of different descriptions of examples in the Bible, but we're going to focus on this one, the idea of what it means to shine as lights. And of course, I would begin by taking you over to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes, the very first thing Jesus does, in verse 13, he gives you another example. You are the salt of the earth. But then in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says, you're being an example. And Jesus says, don't hide your example. You let your light shine. And friends, if there was ever a time when our society needed that, you understand? You know, one of the things that's going to come up here, when I preached this series back in 2019, you're going to hear about COVID-19 throughout this. You know, I mean, just from an example standpoint, there's so much we can learn from that. You know, things to give consideration. But we're told that we are to be examples. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of my brethren online, they have not been very good examples over the course of this pandemic that we've been dealing with. It bothers me a great deal. Others have been great examples. So let your light shine. That's one of the great illustrations of example. We're told over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and again, you've got the Philippians chapter 2. Oh, and one other interesting observation about Matthew chapter 5 here for a second. You know, when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," you know something else that's interesting to think about that if you go to John chapter 9 and verse 5? Jesus is telling you to do what he did. You know, he says, "You are the light of the world." In John chapter 9 and verse 5, he said, "I am the light of the world." So Jesus is being an example, and we are to be an example. Just as he is the light, we are to be a light. And we're going to talk more about that in this lesson here in just a moment. From that standpoint, when we look at some things associated with that, actually in the next hour. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we find here in this text that Paul says to these brethren, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So he makes the point, I want you to walk as children of light in this world. And he goes on and he describes the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let your light shine. And you be those who the light of the Lord is what your life is about. So, what is the light that we're shining? Something to give consideration to. What is the light that we're shining? It's Jesus. He's the light of the world. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 3, Paul there said, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." That's the light we're shining. It's as it's described there again in that verse, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's what's to be shining in us. And he goes on, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So again, you've got an illustration there. And the point is it is the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're shining. We need to learn how Jesus reflected that light, and that's what we need to try to imitate. And that's what we need to be working on in our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 19, 2 Peter 1 and in verse number 19, Peter there says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." He's making the point there, a light that shines in a dark place. Now, I know he's talking about the Old Testament there, but he's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is what we are reflecting. It reflects the light of Jesus. So we need the Word of God, and it needs to be shining, which means we need to be living it. And that's the point. Another great illustration of being an example, and I just mentioned this because I think it builds into this. Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2, he talked about how not only are we a light, but he said there, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by men." You know, I love that illustration. I love that example of being, you're an epistle. You know, there's a song that we sing every once in a while. I assume y'all sing it here every once in a while. "We are the world's Bible." That's exactly what it's saying. Some people, the only Bible they're going to read, or the only way they're going to be introduced to the Bible, and that's the way to think about it, is by watching you. What are they seeing in you? What light are you reflecting? We are to be an epistle, read by men. Men are reading us. That just reminds us of the example that we are. Now, for the remainder of my time, and I got about 15 minutes left, to about 20, something like that. I want to talk about what light looks like. Let's just spend a few minutes and talk about light. Some of the qualities that are associated with light, and see how they are related to us letting our light shine. And the first thing I want to note about light is that light sustains life. And friends, I want you to understand in this world that God created, the way that He created it, the world needs light. Without light, there would be no life on this earth. It's just that simple. We need light to survive. So light is necessary for life. And that's something to understand. You know, over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, you know, and that's where Jesus said, love your enemies, in verse 43. And He made the point that God loves even His enemies. He makes His light to shine on the good and the evil alike. God allows His light to shine on everybody, whether we deserve it or not. And it's probably the latter, you know. But He does. God, in His mercy, gives us light. And He created this world so that we could survive in this world. And light's a part of that. What a wonderful thing that is. But now you take and make the spiritual application to that, it's true as well. Over in John chapter 1 and in verse 4, where John is introducing Jesus, among the things that he says about Jesus there in that text, is he makes the point. He says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, we've already pointed out in John 9, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Where here, John ties light to life, spiritually. Just as physical life gives us, Spiritual light gives us spiritual life. And that's what we need to understand. Over in 2 Peter, or in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, Peter there talks about how He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We live spiritually because of the light of our Lord. So light is a sustaining characteristic, or sustaining life is a characteristic of light. Another characteristic of light is that it illuminates. And what I mean by the idea of it illuminates is the idea that it reveals what is around us. Light exposes, if you will, and it reveals what is directly in front of you, and light can help you know where you are going. And anybody that has ever used a flashlight understands this. Anybody that ever has gotten in a car and driven around understands this. You know, I remember a number of years ago, a gospel preacher made an illustration about this. You know, say that you have to drive from, you know, let's just use the example of you have to drive from, say, Los Angeles to Phoenix. And let's just say you have to do it at night. Okay, so you get in your car, and you say, you know, that's, what, 350, 400 miles, or something like that, but it's pitch black. How am I going to be able to see where I'm going? That car only shines a light about 100 feet ahead of me. You know, on brights, maybe a couple of hundred. But that's it. But what's the wonderful thing about that light on the car? As you keep moving forward, it keeps shining the 100 or 200 feet ahead of you. And that's enough for you to see where you are going. And with just that little bit of light in front of you, eventually, all night long, if it's pitch black, you can get to your destination because the light's working. So you got the idea of it illuminates. It lights up in front of you, and you can see if there's a deer on the road or an animal that's in your way. You can see whatever is an obstacle that you need to go around or what's straight ahead. So that's the idea. It illuminates things for you. You remember in the wilderness when the children of Israel were wandering there, and in spite of their rebellion, God sustained them the whole time. He kept protecting them. And one of the ways that he protected them is that during the day there was a cloud that covered them, and at night there was a pillar of fire. For whatever reason, God lit up the sky, even in the evening, so that they could get around. And so there you got the idea of light illuminating, making it possible to get around. Spiritually, in Psalm 119 and verse 105, David said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Is this your light? This needs to be your light. The gospel. This is what's going to illuminate truth to us. Reading this, studying this, and learning this. This is what's going to help you learn what you need to be doing in order to get to heaven when this life is over, and to let your light shine so that others can go with you. So light illuminates. But along with that, this is a subcategory of that, light exposes. Not only does it illuminate what is in front of you, but it exposes that which is hidden in the darkness. And of course, we use this, you know, when we talk about darkness, we talk about the bad things. That's what my lesson is going to be about tonight. You know, understanding the darkness that is in this world. At least a portion of that is what we will be talking about. But light exposes darkness. Spiritually. Turn over to John chapter 3. And whether or not this is Jesus speaking at the conclusion of his conversation with Nicodemus, or whether this is John expounding upon that, you know, there's some discussion as to exactly where the words of Jesus ended. Doesn't matter. The message is true. The point that is made there is in verse 19 of John 3, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Someone who is walking in light is not afraid of his life being exposed. But those who are wicked and those who are of the world, they hate the light, because the light exposes who they are. There's a reason why on our buildings we put security lights. The object is to deter criminals or people from doing bad things that they shouldn't be doing on the property. And the hopes is that if that light is there, they'll know somebody can see me. What works even better is the ones that are activated, you know. Surprise! You know, I'm on light, and you're exposed. And what does somebody in darkness that wants to walk in darkness do when they see the light? You know, it's like a cockroach. You know, you walk into a room and turn the light on, they scatter. They want nothing to do. Light exposes the darkness. It exposes sin. Christ, he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And that's something we can take hope in. Matter of fact, over in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11, you read in that text, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Light exposes darkness. So it illuminates, it exposes darkness, but light also has healing properties. It's kind of interesting. And in particular, while this may be true of different types of light, it's particularly true of the sun. You know, COVID-19 example, illustration. You remember the lockdown? And you remember the people? And there were some people, and this is not being critical of anybody, but there were some people who would not leave their homes for months on end. They just wanted to stay home. They didn't even get out and walk in the neighborhood or whatever the case is. You know what? I know of people who, when they went to the doctor for their physical, they said, you know what? You've got a vitamin D deficiency. You know why? They haven't been in the sun. They haven't let the sun help heal them. We need sunlight. It's a part of who we are. So light has healing properties, and that's just an example of it to give consideration to. Over in Malachi chapter 4 and in verse number 2, the very last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter of the Old Testament, dealing with the coming Messiah, you read in verse 1 that, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, or the behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. That's an illustration to light. And all the proud, yes, all who are wicked will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Healing in his wings, that curing us. Is Jesus the great physician? He's a healer. He brings the light that will heal us spiritually. We call it forgiveness, as well as some other things that are associated with that. We're told over in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, his blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness. The idea of cleansing there, that's making us pure, making us whole, making us healthy. Light has healing properties. Friends, we need the healing of our Lord. And the light of his gospel, it can give us hope as we face whatever troubles we are facing in this life. His light can heal the sin-sick soul. Whatever that is, if we will allow his light into our life and allow him to heal us. And, of course, another side note to this, can we, by shining our light, bring healing to others? Again, something else to think about from that standpoint. That's your example, folks. That's your example. Furthermore, light is dependable. And what I mean by when I say that light is dependable, the point of that is simply to say that light does what it's supposed to do. We can count on light. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 and about verses 4 and 5, you know, God created day and night. And he said the evening and the morning were the first day. And friends, it's been that way ever since. Matter of fact, after the flood in Genesis 8, verses 21 and 22, where God promised to never destroy the world again by flood. And a number of other things happened at that time. One of the things that said, as long as the world exists, there'll be seasons, and there'll be day and night. Light will exist. Morning and evening will arrive. And so we can see that light is dependable, something that we can count on. In James chapter 1 and in verse 17, it talks about how he is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And in that expression, the fact that God is the Father of light, and there's no variation, that means he's dependable. That means you can count on God. God keeps his word. I actually preached on that just a couple of weeks ago. The theme that I'm dealing with this year is closer to God. And one of the lessons was dealing with God is a God who keeps his word. He keeps his promises and he is dependable. And we can take comfort in that. But I'm also going to tell you right now that we in our lives can learn from that, that we too need consistency in our lives. You know, I think of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 37. Doesn't use the expression light, but you know what Jesus said there? He said, you let your yes be yes, and your no be no. you know, there's no sense that in order for you to go buy a car or a house, they have to cut down a forest in Oregon, you know, for the paper, you know, for the contract that you have to sign to make sure that you're going to pay for it, you know, and you shouldn't have to do that. We ought to be people of integrity, and with a handshake, that ought to mean something like it used to. Let your yes be yes and your no more be no. And anything more than that is of the devil. And that's how we need to live our life. Light is dependable. Well, something else about light, though, is the fact that it attracts. And this is my final point here. Light attracts. Light is used to promote events and so on. You know, I guess it still happens. I haven't seen it in a little while. But you remember how you used to, you know, even in a city like this or something, you look out and you'll see this big old bright light going back and forth in the sky. Hey, there's a special event going on over there. Maybe I want to go see what it is, you know. And it attracts you. Insects are attracted to the light. I mean, they just are. You know, and you've got the idea of light. It attracts people. It promotes things. And friends, when our light is shining as brightly as it ought to, it can attract others to Christ. And that's it needs to attract others. And that's why we need to be careful about how we let our light shine. It's so important that we understand that. And that goes back to Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 16, where Jesus there said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We are to let our lights shine. And by the way we live our lives, we are attracting other peoples to God. And that's simply the way that we live our lives. And friends, that's what I had to say this morning. Actually got done. Don't get used to that. So, you know, I just simply conclude this lesson by saying, how is your light shining? And so think about that and lesson yours. So I guess we have a minute. Somebody getting ready to hit the buzzer, I think. So.